here tonight. Thanks for coming out on this Tuesday night. Looking forward to our time together. I've already enjoyed your congregational singing. And now we're going to take some time to look at the scriptures and see what we can learn from the Bible. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs and chapter number 4 is where we will spend our time. Proverbs chapter number 4. If you've read the Bible much at all, then you're familiar probably with the fact that the book of Proverbs is a book that is made up mostly of a series of what I'll call one-liners, in the sense that it is a number of truths or truisms that God, by several different authors, gave to us that let us know things that are very practical to life. In fact, in much of the book of Proverbs, there's not a lot of connectivity. That is, you're not going to read passages in Proverbs. Now, in some places you do, but in most places, a verse or two verses or three verses will explain everything that's mentioned in a subject matter, and then the next several verses will deal with something completely different. In Proverbs chapter number 4, we have a series of 4 or 5 verses that basically give to us a truth that for me has been a tremendous help. It may seem a little bit odd. Again, if you're used to revival meetings and you've heard the Bible preached and you've been through the book of Proverbs or read it, you may think this is kind of different to look at the book of Proverbs in a revival meeting. But I'm telling you, the truth from Proverbs 4 basically lays out for us in a practical way how to live the life that God would have us to live so that we can experience everything that God wants us to experience. And I think you'll see that tonight as we go through. Basically, all we're going to do in the time that we have together, the next several minutes, is I'm going to read beginning in verse 23, and I'm going to read all the way down through verse number 27, and I'm going to explain to you, to the best of my ability, what God has said. We'll apply it to our lives, and then our time will be finished. All right? Proverbs chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 23. If you're physically able, would you mind standing? We'll show our public respect for the scriptures. And then when I'm finished reading, then you can be seated. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." By the way, verse number 24 is not saying you put away from you lips that are perverse in the sense of don't have perverse lips. That's a good thing not to have. Perverse, crooked, lying, things that are inappropriate. But it's saying those who are around you that have perverse lips, put those kind of people far from you. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26 is super helpful. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, we love you. We need you. I ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for standing. Please be seated. I don't know if there is anyone in here who is a sports fan, or if you played sports growing up, or if you watch sports, but there's a common saying amongst coaches and oftentimes winning teams. And I'm going to give it to you and see if you can fill in the blank. In fact, the statement starts with a blank. It says, blank wins championships. Any idea? Anybody know what the statement is? Okay, defense. Defense wins championships. Now, there are teams right now in the NBA that are putting that to the test, but a statement for a long, long time has, you can win games by having a great offense. But if you're going to go the distance, if you're going to win championships, then you got to have a good defense because you got to be able to stop the other team from scoring. Well, that idea did not originate in sports. You could see that in history. You can see it in battles that have been fought, the importance of having a proper and a good defense and winning in any area. And it's in essence what God starts off this passage in Proverbs 4 by saying. He says here, keep thy heart with all diligence. And then he gives the reason, for out of it, that is, out of your heart come the issues of life. Now, let's define a couple of terms real quickly. The word keep means to guard or to protect. That's what it means. The idea is to make sure that things that aren't supposed to come in don't, but then on the positive side, to make sure that the things that are supposed to come in are allowed, but I'm supposed to be aware of what things are and are not supposed to come in. Now, he says, keep thy heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, obviously, he's not speaking about the muscle that pumps blood through your body. Your ribs do the protecting of that heart. When the Bible talks about your heart, he's talking about the real you, the person that you are. Now, when I stand up here and I look out at you and you look back at me, what I see is your body. I don't see the real you, and you don't see the real me. Have any of you ever looked in the mirror? This is especially for those of us who are getting a little bit older. You ever look in the mirror and think to yourself, that is not what I expected to see? I didn't know that my parents were here. I didn't know my dad was here. For me, I have looked in the mirror on occasion and went, I really do not feel that many gray hairs. I don't feel that many. Oftentimes we look in the mirror and we're surprised, or we can go throughout a whole day feeling really great about ourselves, and then we get home and we look at what other people have seen of us and think, wow, this was really bad. This was really terrible. And the reason why we felt good all day is because what you see of me and what I see of you isn't the real you. If you were to take off my arm, I would still be me. If you took off both arms, I would still be me. Now, admittedly, if you continue to carve, you'll get to me. But the point is the real you is the person that's on the inside of you. In Proverbs 4, the Bible calls it the heart. In other passages of Scripture, it is sometimes referred to as the soul. And this is what makes up who you are. Your heart is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. If we had more time, we could go through the book of Proverbs and I could show you where each one of these is associated with what the Bible refers to as the heart here. But it just basically is you. It's your personality. It is a part of what makes you tick and what allows you to make the decisions that you make. Your mind, that is your thinking, your will, your desires, what it is that you want, and your emotions. All three of these things make up your heart. So, you have a body, that's what I see. You have a soul, or your heart, that's what you are, who you are. And then, the Bible says that each of us is created with a spirit. By the way, This is a reflection of what God means when He says that He created mankind in His own image. This is another reason why I'm convinced regarding creation as opposed to evolution being an actual way that the world and that we could come about. Because we're built with a body, that's true, but you and I both know that our body is not really us, that there's more to us than that. And the Bible tells us we have a soul and we have a spirit. And just like our God is a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we reflect that in the way that we have been created with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And again, the word soul is mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 4 as our heart. So when the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, when God tells us, hey, guard or protect your heart, He's talking about protecting that which you would consider to be you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Be careful, He says, about what you allow to affect that, what comes into that. In fact, He says, guard or protect, keep your heart. And He says, with all diligence. The word I oftentimes like to use when I'm preaching from this passage is the word tenacity. That's a big word, so if you're younger, you may not understand it. But tenacity is the idea with energy or with effort, on purpose. God says, hey, look, make sure you're guarding, make sure you're protecting with energy and on purpose, with tenacity, what you allow to come in and affect the way that you think and your desires and your emotions. And do it on purpose because, he says at the end of the verse, out of your heart come the issues of life. This is restating something that's already been mentioned earlier this week, but since we have folks that haven't been able to be here for every service, let me just restate it real quickly. Your life is made up of the decisions that you make. Choices that you make end up determining what you become and where you end up in life. Life is not made up of wants, wishes, dreams, and desires. It's made up of decisions and choices. Let me illustrate it real quickly. If I were standing up here preaching and I said, hey, turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 4. And all of a sudden, while I was having you turn, I fell over on the floor, started to shake around a little bit, and then just stopped. You might wonder at first, okay, is Brother Tim like using an illustration? What's all this about? And all of a sudden, through the back doors, a 16-year-old girl comes running in and says, hey, everybody hold still, everybody stop. I have always wanted to be a heart surgeon. It's been my dream and my desire since I was 9 to be a heart surgeon. And it looks like to me that Brother Tim has had a heart attack. And she comes up and she kicks me over and goes, yep, I'm sure it's a heart attack. I'm doing surgery. Does anybody have a scalpel, a knife, a chainsaw, an axe, a shovel, anything that I can use to do surgery? Well, at this point, I would miraculously revive and head out the side door. Why? Well, because I don't want a 16-year-old girl doing surgery on me. If she's going to do surgery on me, then she's going to need to go to high school and make great grades. And then go to college for like 12 years and make really good grades. And then work with another heart surgeon for a while and do heart surgery on all of you. And if you live, then she can do heart surgery on me. Well, you say, but Tim, it's her dream to be a heart surgeon. Why can't she just do it because she's dreaming it? If she is just following her heart, that's what she'll do. She'll be a heart surgeon. Look, forgive the Tennessee English. She can want till the cows come home to be a heart surgeon. But until she makes the proper choices to take her in that direction and allow her to become a certified, good, you stay alive kind of heart surgeon, then I don't want any part of her cutting open my body. Okay. Life is made up of choices. Well, somebody says, but Tim, don't circumstances shape our lives? Okay. But everybody has circumstances. All of us do. And yes, it's true that circumstances may push us in a different direction than what we may have previously thought we were going to do, but all of us have to make choices in light of circumstances and in light of life, and it is those choices which determine what we become in life. So that when here in Proverbs chapter 4, when God says to us, look, protect, guard, with tenacity, on purpose, with energy, do it with thinking, protect your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart come the issues of life, come your choices. The way that you think determines the choices you make. The choices you make determine where you end up in life. So you need to guard what it is that comes in and affects your thinking. He is speaking while on the level of very practical regarding, hey, guard your heart. He's speaking it as something that affects not only our life here, but our eternity as well. So here's the deal. What you listen to and what you allow to affect the way that you think causes you to make decisions, and the decisions that you make, while they may take you in a direction for a vocation, they can also affect where you spend eternity. So I don't know people's hearts here tonight. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. But there could be somebody here tonight who has said, I'm not interested in what God has for me. And they fill their mind and they allow their heart to be filled with things that are anti-God without ever giving God a proper hearing or a good hearing. And that kind of influence on their mind and in their life causes them to make decisions regarding rejecting God, which will affect both your life here and the eternal life that God intends for you to be able to enjoy if you'll come to Him His way. So it just makes sense that I would at least give a hearing to that which is right regarding eternity. Now, this verse, I think, is very applicable to those of us who are believers. In fact, that's where we'll spend the remainder of the time. To those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Because your life is made up of choices as well. And your choices are going to be made depending on how you think. And the way that you think is going to be made up of all of those things that you allow to influence your mind, so that when he says here, hey, guard, protect, what it is that comes in and affects the way that you think, immediately my mind goes to two specific things. And I want to mention both of these, and these are important. One is outside influences. That is, I'm supposed to, if I want to make sure that I am living the life that God has for me, and I'm following God and doing what's right, then I need to make sure that I am guarding my heart, my mind, my desires, and my emotions. I am guarding those from outward influences that would be anti what God is about. Now, this is super practical. But immediately, my mind goes to the two gates that God has placed in my body that can allow things from the outside to come to the inside. There are two main gates that allow the things from outside to come into here. And the two gates are, well, it's Tuesday night, so let's answer. What are they? Okay, your eyes and your ears. What you see, what you hear, is what affects you. Okay, so then it stands to reason, if I'm thinking to myself, if I would say, and I am, and I think most in here would, if I'm saying, God, I want to follow you, I want to live the life that you have for me, I want to do right, I want a relationship with you, I want it to be vivacious, I want to live for eternity like we dealt with last night, I want to do things that you'd be pleased with, then it makes sense that things that would push me or pull me in a different direction than that which God says is right, I'm supposed to guard against those. Okay, listen, Satan is really, really good at drawing our eyes and our ears away from that which is right and filling our minds with that which is wrong. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible gives us this warning. He says, God says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. When he says, beware lest any man spoil you, don't think spoiling in the sense that we oftentimes think of it, where like a grandparent giving their grandchild everything that they want. It is, that is spoiling, and if we had lots of time, I could explain it to you. But spoiling, think spoils of war, where you go into a place and you take that which they have, and you take it for your own. So when the Bible says, watch out lest any man spoil you, he's saying, hey, watch out lest your life be taken for spoil because somebody uses philosophy or vain deceit or the tradition of men or the rudiments of the world, and that gets pumped into your mind. Okay, then all of a sudden, what I see and what I hear becomes super, super important, which is one of the reasons why I think it makes sense. For me, if I want God's best for my life, if I want to follow, serve, love God, live for eternity, invest my life in things that are eternal, then it makes sense that with some tenacity, I'm going to make sure that through my eyes and through my ears, I'm not going to let things come in that are anti-God. Well, you say, Brother Tim, that pretty much eliminates us watching anything on television. Well, that may be. But we're talking about living for eternity this week, aren't we? About having our focus refreshed and revived on that which is important. So that, and I'm not saying it does, so that if it meant that I couldn't watch anything ever in order to live for that which is eternal, would you please, in your mind right now, put it on a scale of what has the highest value? Now, I don't think the Bible teaches that you can't ever enjoy entertainment. In fact, entertainment is not in and of itself wicked, not by itself. Now, too much of it is unwise, but entertainment where again, I'm speaking to those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior. So if you don't know the Lord, this may not make perfect sense to you. But it should if you think through it. I'm not going to allow it to come into my eyes or through my ears. The taking of my God's name in vain. I mean, not purposely. Now, if you work out in the community, you're going to hear it. But I'm not going to invite into my life for entertainment purposes people who use crass and inappropriate language and talk about inappropriate things and use my God's name flippantly as a joke and a byline. Or watch things that push an agenda that is completely anti everything that God is about. I'm gonna be super careful about the kind of stuff that I allow to infiltrate and come into my mind. Well, you say, Brother Tim, aren't you taking this a little bit too far of an end? Isn't this a little pharisaical? Okay, look. I'm not saying the Bible says thou shalt not whatever. What it does say right here, I mean, you've got to see it. It says right here, with energy, with purpose, with tenacity, with diligence, guard what you allow to come in. Why? Because what comes in is going to affect the way that I think, and the way that I think determines the choices I make, and the choices I make determine where I will end up, regardless of what back here I say, I hope my life is this. I hope I live for eternity. I hope God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope that I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Forgive me, you can hope and want till the cows come home. If you don't make the choices that lead you in that direction, then it won't happen, and your choices are going to be determined by the way that you think, and the way that you think is determined by what you allow to infiltrate into your eyes and ears. So why the Bible does not necessarily say thou shalt not listen to this, or thou shalt not watch this, I'm going to think through what it is that I do allow to come in and don't allow to come in, so that I can think right. And don't think to yourself, Brother Tim, I've been saved for a long time, so I'm mature enough to be able to handle this. Okay, listen, please hear me. You weren't built to handle it. You're built to flee it. Remember how we talked about the three parts of the human, the body, the soul, or the heart, and the spirit? Your body, your flesh, has natural desires and tendencies that causes you to want to intake everything that is anti-God and against God. That's the way you are naturally built. Now, you may not realize it as anti-God, but it's humorous, and it feeds the flesh, and your body likes it. You have a spirit that, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, has been made alive by God, and His Spirit lives inside of you. That which comes between the spirit, where for believers the Holy Spirit lives, and the body, which is where your flesh, which is corrupt and is going to die eventually because of sin and its desire for it, is the soul or the heart. And friend, whichever one you listen to is what's going to determine the choices that are made for your life as a whole. So may I encourage you, as a friend who has the same tendencies and desires that you have, but one who in my heart I have said, God, I want to serve and please you. Therefore, I'm going to make some decisions for myself. I'm going to, verse number 26, ponder the path of my feet. Think ahead about what's coming. And let all my ways be established. Decide ahead of time about what I'm going to do in those situations. I'm going to guard my heart with diligence. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I think it's wise to at least consider, this is for young people, if you're going to attend college, I think it's wise for you to consider attending a Christian college where your faith will be bolstered and helped, as opposed to a place where, across the board, for the most part, the teachers would be anti what God is about and anti what the Bible teaches. Well, you say, Tim, does the Bible say thou shalt nottest attendest a statist collegist? The Bible doesn't say that. And I'm not even saying it's wrong. But I'm saying if I'm going to guard my heart with all diligence, man, if I'm going into a situation like that, I'm going to have to go in with guards fully engaged and keep the protectors up and be constantly aware so that with tenacity I'm protecting what comes in through the eyes, through the ears. And there's all kinds of applications to this. Now, to be perfectly honest, that's not actually what I'm guessing most people here would struggle with. Now, maybe you do. And if you do, then it may be, again, please hear me. I'm saying this with a smile on my face and with kindness in my heart towards you. And just wanting for you what God wants for you. But it may be that some of you may have DVDs at home that need to get burned, or stuff on the computer that needs to be gotten rid of, or some movies that need to be pushed away because there are things that push you in a wrong direction, and you know they do because they themselves are about things that are inappropriate or wrong. I'm just saying, beware. At least ask God about it. At least ask God about it. Just go through your DVD collection. God, what do you think? Yay or nay? Are you for this? Are you against this? And then do what He tells you. Okay. So you have outward influences that can come in through the eyes, through the eyes, through the ears. But the place that probably most of us struggle with this and need this the most is not from the outward influences, but from inward attitudes. See, here's the deal. Not only is our heart affected by those things which come in through the eyes and through the ears and those outward influences that press against us on a regular basis, but our hearts can be influenced. Our thinking, our mind, our will, and our emotions can be affected by attitudes that we allow to stay on the inside of us, that we allow to churn on the inside of us. Certainly included in this would be bitterness or unforgiveness, discouragement, despair, anger, things that maybe there are things that have happened on the outside, but now that's done. But on the inside, there's this constant churning and this playing over and over again, where on the inside I have an attitude, I have something on the inside of me that just constantly turns around, and without you even realizing it, it is affecting the way that you think. It's affecting your emotions. It's affecting your desires, and the decisions of your life are going to bear out. They're going to show that those things are affecting you. Now, right now, you may think, I have it under control. Nobody else knows about it. And that may or may not be so. But friend, listen, if you have things on the inside, things that you think, oh, this hurts, or I don't like this, or I'm upset about this, I'm discouraged, or I'm in despair, and I have this, and it just plays over and over and over in your mind, and you know it's affecting your emotions, and you know it's affecting your thinking, I'm telling you, it will affect choices that you make in your life, so that you may want to live a victorious life that God intends for you to live, and we'll get to that in a moment. You may want to live a life that is pleasing to God and beneficial to the kingdom of God, one where at the end of life God says, hey, good job, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I want to live for eternity. But sometimes things that we allow just to fester on the inside and turn over and over and over again in our lives can end up causing us to make bad decisions that affect our lives whether we intend to or not. Have you ever been bitten by a mosquito? This week? Okay, so I do not like mosquitoes. My wife is a very, let's go naturally as much as possible, meaning Everything, if it says raw and organic, then she's on it. I'm telling you, she's all over it. So in our household, I don't think we have a can of anything that has DEET in it. Because if you use it once, that's it. You're gone. Not really, but that's kind of, I'm teasing a little bit. But I will tell you that the natural stuff doesn't always seem to work as well as the chemical. Okay, so it may melt phones to the side of my face, but I'm okay with that if I don't get mosquito bites kind of deal. I just hate getting bit by mosquitoes. Okay, have you ever been bit by a mosquito like between your fingers? Has this ever happened? Okay, now you know, don't you, that you're not supposed to scratch mosquito bites, right? Because your mom told you that it's not good. Don't scratch mosquito bites. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you get a mosquito bite on your hand, in between your fingers, if you scratch it, does it make it feel better? Yes! For 22 seconds! So you scratch it. Now, first of all, you remember your mom said, so you don't scratch it. You don't scratch it. You scratch all around it. You think, maybe this will help somehow. Then you take your fingernail and you like make a cross in the mosquito bite. Then you grab out your pocket knife and you start stabbing it. And eventually you just scratch it, and then it ends up getting infected, and they take your arm off at the shoulder. All because you did not listen to your mother. Listen to your mother, boys and girls. Okay. Without us realizing it, sometimes this is what inward attitudes do for us, do with us. Let me give you, for instance, not that this has ever happened in my life, but I've read books about people like you, and I'm fairly confident it has happened. So you're doing some task that requires not a lot of thinking. For me, I don't ever mow lawns anymore because I don't have one, but for me it's something like mowing a lawn. So I'm out pushing my lawnmower. And while I'm pushing a lawnmower, I start thinking to myself, you know, when that person said that, I wonder what she really meant. I think I know what she really meant. I can't believe she'd even think that about me. That makes me so mad. Good night. Well, I will tell you, next time I see them, if they make a statement like this, I will tell you right now what I'm going to say to them. And when I say it to them, that is, man, I hope I see them soon. If I do, I hope I can stay mad that long. Because, man, I'm really going to let them. Okay, so, and I'm being a little bit silly. But sometimes there are things that we allow that they just fester without us even realizing it. We're just thinking on them. And sometimes it's things not that were even said, but things that we think they may have said, or looks that they were giving us, or the intent of their heart, and we start judging that, and it starts to fester in our hearts like a mosquito bite. While we're thinking about it, it feels good. And I can live with that for a minute, but a little bit later, I got to think about it again. I got to replay it again, and I've got to have in my mind what I'm going to say the next time I see that person. And without even realizing it, that begins to affect and infect the way that I think. Well, you say, Brother Tim, is it really that big a deal? Well, in the illustration I gave, you might think it's not that big a deal, but friends, I've seen people who are out of the ministry today because of little things like that were allowed to fester. They were in full-time Christian service, serving God, living for eternity, and something happened, and as a result of what happened, it just played over and over in their minds, and some things were assumed, and motive was given, whether rightfully given or not, doesn't really matter, but on the inside it just played over and over again until the place where they had to make a decision that caused them to no longer serve the Lord. And friend, I'd hate for you to live life with an edge. I'd hate for you to live life feeling like you always had to protect yourself from people, and you couldn't invest in people, and couldn't love people, and couldn't serve God because somebody might take advantage. They might say something again. That's not going to happen to me, not twice. Because on the inside, you play over and over again what happened or what might have happened, what they said or what they probably said, because the next Sunday when I went there, people looked at me differently. And when this happened, and they look, and if you're not careful, then just stuff that plays over. Sometimes it can be small things. Sometimes it can be fairly large things. Things that really are hurtful. I grew up in a pastor's home. I was in a meeting where I was asked to leave under the excuse that I was under the age of 16 and only 16-year-olds could be in church meetings. When in reality, as I found out later, the reason why I needed to leave was because of what a group of people were about to do and say to my parents. And so the tendency can be, okay, that's not going to happen again. I can't believe they said that. After I poured my life into them, after I've spent time with them and I've preached to them and I've loved on them, I'm not going to let that happen. No, it's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. And we allow those things to replay. We say, I'm not a preacher. No, but you have a family. You have relatives and extended relatives. And you have people at work. And you can allow things like that to overcome. And it does. Whether you realize it or not, it affects the way that you think, which determines choices that you make. And the choices you make determine where you end up in life. So guard your heart with tenacity. Be careful about those things that you allow to come in. Or the same thing can happen with discouragement. Or depression, where there are things that have happened and in your heart and mind you're discouraged about something and you just keep on replaying that discouragement over and over in your heart. Well, you say, Brother Tim, I would love out of the discouragement. I'd love out of the depression. It's not where I want to live. Oh, okay, all right, fine. That's legitimate. We'll deal with it in just a second. But I'm telling you, in Proverbs 4:23, when God gives us this simple instruction, this simple truth of, look, you make sure that with tenacity, with energy on purpose and with thinking, you guard your heart. Don't let that kind of stuff stay in and move around on the inside of you. He means it because it not only affects what you become on this earth, but it affects your whole view about life and about eternity. It affects your being able to live the life that God intends for you to live. God wants us to live letting His peace rule in our hearts, and peace and discouragement and depression cannot live in the same place. It's just not possible. Well, somebody says, okay, Brother Tim, how do I get out of it? If I have stuff on the inside, I have in my mind, somebody might say, I deal with thoughts from a life prior. I deal with thoughts that constantly plague me. Or I deal with depression. Or I deal with this bitterness. What do I do about it? Well, let me give you something really practical that was given to me when I was a high schooler. That I don't use this phrase often, but I mean it when I use it. It changed my life. Dealing with inward attitude and things on the inside and receiving help having victory over these. This is what God used for me. Let me share it with you. Here's the deal. When you deal with inward attitudes, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, depression, you name it, it is always something that centers around you. That is, when you're depressed because of how you look at life or how life has happened to you or things that bother you, and everything is about me. If I'm bitter, they hurt me. If I'm angry, they did something against me. Whatever it is, life is about me. And as we looked at Ephesians 4, 22, 23, and 24 on Sunday, life isn't supposed to be about us, but the Holy Spirit of God is changing the way that we think, renovating our minds so that we begin to live for and think of others. So here's what somebody shared with me based upon that principle. And I started it in high school when I was battling thoughts that were inappropriate, that weren't right. This person suggested that I have what I termed trigger prayers. And basically, at the moment that anything inward started to stir and churn in me, I would immediately, it's like pulling a trigger, I would immediately pray for three different people. I would pray for someone who I knew by name, who was not saved, that they would get saved, that God would show them their need of Jesus Christ. I would pray for someone by name who is saved but not following the Lord, that God would get a hold of them and change their life. And then thirdly, I'd pray for someone who is saved and living right, that God would bless them and help them to continue to do what was right. And as soon as the wrong inward attitude, wrong thoughts begin to come, immediately I begin to pray for these three things. Someone who's not saved, that they would get saved. Someone who's saved but not living right, that they would start living right. Someone who's saved and living right, that God would help them. Okay, I did not pray for myself in it. Only because the focus would then still be on me, and it's too easy in the middle of that prayer to say, Lord, I'm praying to you about this because this person did this, and I'm back into the cycle again. But if I would immediately begin to pray for other people, well, let me tell you, this is just my experience. It's my story. I don't know if it'll be yours. But here's what God did for me through this. When I began this trigger prayer thing, if I remember correctly, and that was a long time ago, I was 16 years of age. When I began this trigger prayer, the very moment when I began to pray, I would pray for those three people, and as soon as I would get done, I would say amen. And sometimes I'd be out in public, so it wasn't like I would get down on my knees, but I would just, as I was walking, pray. As soon as I get done, then I'd get hit with the thought, or with the feeling, or with the anger, or with the bitterness, immediately again. It would happen right again, immediately. And so I'd go right back into it. Lord, please help. And I prayed for the person. By the way, the person that I prayed for about getting saved got saved. And then prayed for the person that I was praying for about them getting right. And then the person that was doing right, that God would bless them. And I would get right. I'd go right back into the prayer. And again, if I remember correctly, it's been a while. For about 2 weeks, it was like the battle raged. Here's the deal. You remember the spirit, the body, the soul in the middle? Do you think Satan's unaware of that? So friend, listen to me. He's going to do everything within his power to make sure you lose the battle at that level. Because if you lose the battle at that level, he has your life. He at least derails it. He may not be able to have your spirit, your soul, because it belongs to God through Christ. But he can absolutely sidetrack your life. And for 2 weeks, the battle raged. It was just constant, constant, constant. And then after 2 weeks, it was like all of a sudden, in fact, I can remember where I was, walking down a hall in school where I went, hey, I've gone all day and it's, wow, this is, I've gone all day. And then wham, I got hit again and kind of had to restart the process. But eventually, I mean this sincerely, eventually God gave victory. Now, since that day, I have had other things that come up. Despair, discouragement, not deep depression, but you'd understand that sometimes things don't always go the way that I'd like for them to go. And the same thing. When I use what God has provided to get my heart and my mind off of myself and onto others, then God gives great victory. Okay, so look. You keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Protect. From outward actions, from outward sources, you guard your ears, guard your eyes. Make decisions. Make decisions that make sense based upon the truth of the Bible. Make decisions in a time when you can think clearly, not when you're in the midst of a situation. That's not the time to decide. Now, when you can think biblically and think clearly, is the time to decide. Yes, I will. No, I will not. The Bible tells us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And dwell has involved in it the idea of it tells us what is right or what is wrong. It umpires our life. It says, yes, that is good. No, that's not good. Yes, that's a strike. That comes in. No, that is wrong. That stays out. So guard with diligence from things that are outward and certainly from things that are inward. Why? Because the way that I think, my heart, determines the choices I make, and the choices that I make determine where I end up. And if I want to live for eternity, then practically speaking, one of the things I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to think right. Now let me mention one last thing and we're done. You not only guard against things that are wrong and push them out, but you're also aware of having a welcoming hand for things that are right and good. So you can't just say no to everything, but learn to say yes to those things that are right. You remember your body and spirit? Flesh is always going to lead you towards that which is wrong. But friend, God has given you His sweet spirit to live inside of you, who using the Word of God wants to help you to think right and live right and do what would be pleasing to God, best for you, and is for eternity. Learn to have an ear for the Spirit of God. Let me say again what I said last night, how important it is. Learn to be still and listen to the Spirit of God and obey what He says. And when the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through preaching, or just by giving you some instruction for in a moment, when He speaks, then immediately that's a, hey, that comes in. That's a part of my life. That is supposed to affect the way that I think. Because the way that you think determines choices that you make. And choices you make determine where you end up in life and for eternity. So guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.